This is the Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast from Speakeasy Marketing. Discover how to enhance your reputation as an attorney and outmarket your competitors. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and post a review.
Good afternoon. This is Tracy Murda with Speakeasy Marketing podcast, Secrets of Attorney Marketing. I am here on behalf of Richard Jacobs. And today my special guest is attorney Aubrey Knetzer. Hello, Aubrey. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Of course. How are you?
So, Aubrey, I am, and I was telling you before we started the call, I am always thrilled to talk to successful female attorneys, especially those that sort of have their own law firm, have built their own career. And I always like to get a background of what brought you into this career path. So if you want to just tell me a little bit about your background and upbringing and sort of what led you to where you are today.
Sure. I'm a Dallas native, so I was born and raised here. I went to the Episcopal School of Dallas for high school, undergrad at University of Texas in Austin, and then I stayed there for law school, having interviewed with firms, several in Dallas, decided to take a job after law school and doing the domestic violence clinic as a third-year law student with an exclusively family law firm, larger firm, in Dallas where I practiced for about 13 years and then decided about 3.5 to 4 years ago to go out and start my own firm, which I did and currently practice in now.
So what was it about law that sort of intrigued you? And I mean, was it something that was a dying passion from childhood on, or was it something that you kind of came to a little bit later?
You know, looking back, I always had a propensity to perform, and so being a litigator probably is a good fit for that. I was always used to singing and dancing and performing in plays and doing drama as a kid, and was always comfortable in front of other people and public speaking. And so, you know, the role of litigator sort of fell in my lap as I made a decision once I was in law school to go into a litigation track. But certainly the family law career path was one that I started thinking about fairly early while I was in undergraduate school at UT. I volunteered at the Children's Advocacy Center in Travis County, where I was a greeter for abused and neglected children who could come there for all of their services in one day at one place. And as I matriculated through undergrad and even in law school, I eventually became the assistant to the pediatrician who would take photographs of the abused and neglected children, both sexually and physically abused. And I was sort of part of the chain of custody for any criminal case that might be prosecuted against whoever the perpetrator was. And so I saw some pretty horrific things, but I also saw a little bit about how that legal process worked because there was also an assistant DA that worked at the Advocacy Center. And through my work there, I sort of became familiar with domestic violence, child abuse, and those sorts of issues, which are typically handled in a civil context in family court if they're not prosecuted criminally. So I got an introduction to that way, and it sort of became my passion, and the rest was history.
Aubrey, did you ever hesitate when it came to choosing a career in law, which may have been, you know, a predominantly male field at the time, especially in Texas, I have to say?
Yeah, you know, my dad was a lawyer, and so I was used to being around lawyers as a kid, but my mom was also a professional. She has a PhD in psychology, is a psychology professor, and has done that for almost 45 years. And I never doubted, based on the way that I was raised, that I could do anything, you know, a man or a boy could do. I had an older brother, and I always, I think, was given what I needed from my parents, particularly in the role model of my mom, to be a professional, work outside the home, and be able to hang with whoever was out there, regardless of their gender. I never felt limited by my gender, ever, really.
I love that. So tell me about the beginning of your law career. Did you feel any challenges specifically as a woman starting out?
Sure. You know, I think it's hard not to, in a male-dominated field, if you're paying attention to what people are really saying and what they mean by what they say.
Mm-hmm.
I always tried to sort of use it to my advantage to the extent people thought I was sort of a meek and mild little Southern girl who was a new lawyer or a young lawyer. I would just play that role, and then when it came down to it, sort of sneak up and surprise them with what I had to dish out. So I never thought of it as a negative. I tried to turn it into a positive, you know, and shame on them for thinking that way, and hopefully they got their just desserts, I guess.
I love it. You're like a pool shark. I love it.
I guess that's one word for it.
That's awesome. That really is. So what about when it came to the courtroom? Did you ever see or feel any differences there between how females and males were treated? I mean, I've heard both sides of it, where some people didn't see anything and others felt very strongly that women were treated a little bit, you know, more like with kid gloves.
Truthfully, in the family law bar, in the more populated counties, you know, Dallas, Collin counties, Tarrant counties, there are, I believe, as many or more female family lawyers than there are male lawyers. To the extent I would practice in smaller towns, smaller jurisdictions, or jurisdictions with older male judges, potentially, sure, there might be a little bit of sexism, and you thought you might get small-towned, or hometown, rather, by some of the older male lawyers. But, you know, that just sort of comes with the territory, and you earn your stripes by how you deal with that type of adversity and that type of pressure. And, you know, not always, but most of the time, the law is really the highest predictor in what the outcome is going to be. And if you know the law and you're prepared and you give the judge the tools they need to make the right decision, I find that most of the time they do.
What made you decide to venture out on your own and open up a firm versus joining, you know, maybe a larger practice? I mean, it can be a risky venture to start any business.
You know, I practiced at it was a boutique family law firm. It was large for an exclusively family law firm for over a decade. I got board certified. I made partner. I did everything you were, quote, you know, supposed to do at a firm like that. And I really cherish and relish the experiences that I had there. You know, there's wonderful things to learn at firms like that. I was just at a point in my career where I felt that I was certainly capable and motivated to run my own shop, run my own business, conduct business the way I wanted to conduct it, and had enough clients that enabled me, you know, what a blessing to be able to do that. And there are pros and cons to each. You know, there are things I miss about being at a larger firm, and there's certainly things I don't miss, and there's a lot that I love about having my own firm. And doing it sort of my way.
Sure. So what are some of the mistakes you may have made early on, or even just some of the challenges that you found earlier in your career in starting your own firm that you would warn others about?
I think it's tempting as a young lawyer to be arrogant, a little cocky. You're kind of coming into your own and learning the ropes, and I think deference to older lawyers, more senior lawyers, is wise. It's not that young lawyers aren't correct, that they might know the law better, but it's, you know, the nuances in the delivery, and nobody wants to be pegged as a young, cocky lawyer unless you have what it takes to follow up and deliver. And what most young lawyers don't realize is that you don't have what it takes to follow up and deliver until you've matured a little bit. So, you know, certainly that may be something I would do differently if I could rewrite the script. But at the same time, I think it's also part of the learning, an important part of the learning process.
Oh, sure, absolutely. So what do you think has made you such a success in, you know, as a Texas attorney, female family attorney now? I mean, what were the main things that sort of led you to where your firm sits now?
One was developing good relationships for referral sources and having your own client base and really cultivating that in a healthy way. But I think the bottom line in all successful businesses, and it's no different in the legal field, is just hard work. You know, you outwork them, you're going to usually come down on the right side of things for your client. And happy clients beget happy clients. When you do a good job for someone, they typically tell people about it, and your business grows exponentially just by doing a good job and working hard. So I'm a firm believer in that. There's no substitute for hard work and knowing your case, knowing the facts, doing it yourself. And if you don't do it yourself, make sure that you monitor how it's being done and make sure it's done in the right way. I also think having pretty strict ethical boundaries and expectations of both yourself but also everyone that works for or with you is important, because your reputation is something you can't rewrite and can't get back once it's lost. And so I'm a firm believer in you get back what you put out there. And so I try to work for and attract the type of clients that I really would prefer to work with, ones that have consistent ethics and morals to mine. And I'm really okay if someone that doesn't see eye to eye with me on how to conduct a case or how to behave in the courtroom or how to deal with opposing counsel chooses to hire someone else, because we're not going to be a good fit anyway. And that goes back to making sure you have a good fit with your clients so that clients beget more clients. And that's sometimes just a chemistry thing. You got real good people skills.
Sure. And I mean, it sounds like a lot of the word of mouth and referral, those types of things, sort of the grassroots marketing techniques seem to, I get the feeling that's quite important when it comes to retaining and finding clients.
For sure. Absolutely. There's other ways to do it too, you know, social media and the targeted marketing strategies that different people employ, but I'm a little old-fashioned in that regard, and that I think most of my referrals come from former clients and other lawyers, and so doing a good job and having a good reputation is the cornerstone and the linchpin for that.
Are there any final words of wisdom that you would share with our attorney listeners, specifically maybe young women who are either already in their own career or maybe starting out?
Couple things. One, don't try to shove a square peg in a round hole. If it's not a good fit for you and you don't enjoy it, at least at some level, a very wise person once told me, you love what you do if you like it about 40% of the time. Work is work, and so there are going to be things about work you're not going to love. I know a lot of our millennials now feel like, if I don't love every minute of my job, I'm not doing it, and I think that's a little unrealistic. I think you can like a lot of what you do, but you're never going to love every part of it. There's parts of work that are work. But find something you enjoy. Find something that there are pieces of, at least, that you really enjoy. And if it's not a good fit, go a different direction. And the other is, don't let money be the determining factor of which path you take. So often law students, at least when I was graduating, would just take the highest paying job they were offered, and they would set themselves off on a trajectory that they didn't eventually want to be on. But sometimes it was too late to change course. At the time, they decided, ooh, maybe this wasn't a good fit. I had offers from other firms that were offering to pay me more money than I took at my boutique family law firm at the time. And I'm so glad that I made that tough decision to not chase the money, because in hindsight, from a long-term perspective, even financially, I think I made the best decision, because I found something I really enjoyed doing that was well-suited to my personality. And when it's a good fit, it tends to blossom and grow more than, you know, just the starting salary that was the highest by $5,000 or $10,000.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to thank you, Aubrey. This is a great interview and some great information. I really appreciate it. Please keep us posted on anything new and exciting that we should know that's happening in your firm. This is, again, a special thanks to attorney Aubrey Konatzer of Konatzer Family Law here in Texas. Aubrey, thank you so much again, and I look forward to hopefully hearing from you soon.
Sounds great. Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast from Speakeasy Marketing. Call 888-225-8594. or email rj@speakeasymarketinginc.com to enhance your reputation and outmarket your competitors. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and post a review.